Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are back for hour two here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I don't even want to talk over the Drifters, Barry, but
no.
Here I am talking over the
How
Drifters.
Awesome. Who knew the Drifters are from South Carolina? You don't know if you don't know unless you look it up. So there you go. There's a lot of research going on in this show. I don't know if people understand.
We have a crack research staff that gets on this stuff every week.
Research staff of one, so it's good.
Well, we love playing music from where the tour is at this weekend down in South Carolina at Kewa Island, of course, for the PGA Championship. So South Carolina music it is, and the Drifters counts for that. We are back, and we are jumping out now to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or AP Nissan. .com. You know her from her work at CBS Golf, on-course commentator, a 17-time winner on the LPGA Tour, and we're thrilled to have her with us this morning. Dottie Pepper joins us on the Scorecard. Good morning, Dottie.
Good morning from South Carolina.
Good morning, Dottie. It's such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show. It's really great. For folks who don't understand, you know, Dottie, to me, is really the star of the CBS Golf. I mean, and what I mean by that is you're kind of the go-to person out during the tournament. Everybody goes to you because you're usually with the final group. And I imagine you're pretty excited about what you see on the leaderboard going into Saturday.
Well, number one, I'm thankful I dried out from last Sunday in Dallas. And now, yes, we've got ourselves quite the championship going into the weekend and all sorts of storylines from, honestly, all over the planet. We've got it covered. The Roars are back, and I think that favors Phil a lot. But boy, what a storyline to have him in that last group.
And you will be following Phil and Louis today, Louis Oosthuizen.
That's correct. Yep.
Yeah. What's with the South Africans? They're all over it. They got three guys in the top four.
Yeah, I think if you watch those guys on the range and watch them get around the golf course, you understand that most of them grew up in pretty windy conditions, so that would favor them what we're facing here this week. And frankly, it's been pretty breezy most of the time that we've come back from starting at the Masters. We had a little wind. So we've had that, but they've all played it well. They all really control the shape. They control the spin. They control the height of the golf ball really well, and that's what is at a premium around this place.
Yeah, and Dottie, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about, Hideki Matsuyama, who, of course, your Masters champion from this year, but 68 yesterday, only two shots off, and if a Masters champion could kind of quietly, play his way back in, he has done just that as we head to round three today.
Yeah, he was home for the weeks following the Masters, and I think he had a chance to really absorb it and wasn't shocked when he came back to playing golf. He was a forced quarantine when he went back to Japan right after winning. But he came back and kind of got his feet wet again quietly, like you said, last week in Dallas. And here he is just a couple of shots back. And that would be really something if he was to be able to pull that off.
Dottie, you won 17 times on the LPGA Tour, including the two majors at the Dinah Shore. And then you also
I'm glad
won.
You called it the dinosaur.
You know what? It's got to be the I don't know. You know what? I understand the value of corporate. You know, I'm a PR guy for the John Deere Classic, so I get the value of. I get it. And I worked PR at the Western Open when it was the Motorola Western Open, and the guys in the press tent would never call it the Motorola Western Open. So I was always mad at them because I worked for Motorola. But anyway, so I get it, the whole corporate spot. But I love dinosaur. I mean, good Lord, it was a great thing. But you
American
also,
icon, yes.
American icon, that was awesome. You know, Andy Williams, not so much on the men's tour, but anyway, you get away with Andy Williams. You know, you also won at the 1992 Chicago Sun-Times Challenge, which is, again, you know, an icon. You know, you never want to forget the Chicago Sun-Times Challenge. But I think I covered that, actually, for the Sun-Times. I was a reporter there, a night golf writer, and along with Lenny Ziem, who was my boss there, kind of. Yep. Anyway, you won there, and you won in a playoff against Beth Daniel and Judy Dickinson. Thank you, Wikipedia, because I had to remember. what do you remember? Do you remember that like it was yesterday? Could you go through like what clubs you hit on the way in, and do you remember what happened?
Well, I can tell you the last two holes for sure, because I hit it out of bounds at 17, and that's why I went into a playoff. Ah. So I had to go to the 18th hole, and because I made double at 17, I was now one back, and I birdied 18. I mean, talk about wind. It was howling that afternoon. Birdied 18, and then I think I won maybe on the second playoff hole.
Right.
And made the worst throw ever to throw the golf ball to some kid. I mean, it was pathetic.
Wow.
I remember that. Really bad.
So for people who don't know, Don Pepper is Dottie's dad, and he was on Sports Illustrated in along with Johnny Bench as one of the most two of the most promising baseball players. I can't remember what year that was, but so you no wonder you
March
were embarrassed.
1968.
For different reasons he didn't wind up playing in the majors, but you should have thrown better apparently.
Well, yeah, he played, I think he played five games for the, in the majors, but that particular throw, that was pathetic. That was really bad. And I can throw all right. But that was just really bad.
Yeah. Well, certainly a good athlete, and certainly a multiple time, as Barry said, 17-time winner on the LPGA Tour. Dottie Pepper is with us, the on-course commentator for CBS Golf. I'm curious because, you know, I'm a broadcasting dork here. How did you make that transition from playing on the tour to then coming into the broadcasting area? You're obviously an expert on the game, but how did you translate that from playing into your broadcasting career?
I had some very good mentors, and some of the people that were best in the game still are best at this game. In Mike Tirico, in Judy Rankin, people like Steve Melnick. I mean, people that I still lean on them for bits here and there, how to continually get better. And I had a couple of significant producers in my life that I still stay in touch with. Tommy Roy at NBC, where the first network I started with, was also doing some stuff at Golf Channel at the time. And then Mike McQuaid at ESPN has been really important in my life and just kind of shaping how I speak on the air, how I try to get information out without using a lot of words and being really succinct and prepared. A lot of what you never hear has been, you talk about your research staff. I mean, I went on the air for 2 hours, not even 2 hours, on Thursday this week, and I had done way more than 2 hours worth of work on the three guys that I saw. And yesterday I had done work on a group I was supposed to be assigned to, and it all blew up because Corey Connors got off to a lousy start. So all that work I had done overnight Thursday into yesterday morning never saw air. But you understand that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Dottie, you have written a really wonderful book, Letters to a Future Champion, My Time with Mr. Pulver. And it's a remarkable book in that it's not just your narrative about you and Mr. Pulver, but it's also it's about the letters, and the letters are actually in the book. You show them in the book, his typewritten letters and your handwritten letters. But tell us a little bit about the audience who might not know anything about the book. What it's about, why you wrote it, and just what the message.
Well, I think first of all, Mr. Pulver was my first golf teacher, really. I started working with him when I was 15 years old, but the relationship went back a few years earlier because he was the architect of the golf course I really grew up on. He was the agronomist. He had since, you know, really retired from being a golf professional, so to speak, but had his hand in everything. So I knew him from there and competing against his wife, actually, in local tournaments in upstate New York. And my dad, knowing so much about sports, was a really fine golfer. He was about a 4 handicap at his best. By the time I got to be 14, 15, he felt like he had taken me as far as he could take me. And I reached out to Mr. Pulver's daughter, Madeline, who I had befriended. And because I was too chicken to write a letter to him, so I wrote a letter to her asking if she thought her dad would be interested in helping me try to find tournaments and be better prepared to play in tournaments and just kind of push my journey along. And unbeknownst to me, Martha, his wife, was hospitalized and very ill. And 4 days before she passed, he wrote a letter to me agreeing to teach me. No one, not knowing what his schedule was going to look like. This was in March of 81. But he come to find out the kids were really concerned about him post-Martha because they were literally like Carl and Ellie Fredrickson in Up. They were hooked at the hip. And they did everything together, and they adored each other. And with no Martha, they were really worried about George. And I was in this, you know, I guess we filled gaps for both of us. I needed a mentor, somebody that could push me along further in the game. And he needed a project. And it was much more than just a teacher-student relationship. It was a true bond. But yeah. Anyway, the letters he wrote me. Really went from A to Z throughout everything that's involved, and not only just being a champion golfer, but being a student. He reinforced how important he thought it was for me to get a degree, to have something to back up, you know, the dreams of playing professional golf. It was about being your own PR department, about being your own business manager. I mean, there was nothing he left untouched about what he felt like it was going to take, not just to play golf, but to be in the game of golf really for your lifetime.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, Daddy, and the really cool thing about this is, I mean, this goes back, obviously. Mm-hmm. You said 1981 was when this started, but I mean, this relationship and how much it meant to you over the course of time. I mean, you're writing a book about it here in 2021. I mean, it's obviously stayed with you very strongly.
Yeah, I kept every letter that Mr. Pulver wrote me, and it was in a 3-ring binder. It was a hand-me-down binder from my dad's office, actually. And it went everywhere. And I, even at times now, when I kind of just have a few minutes, I'd say, let's just go back and look. But what I wasn't prepared to find was that right before George Jr. died, he was about 6.5 years ago. He left me a lot of things that were in his office that were his dad's. And one of the things he left me was this beat up blue folder of the forbidden material Mr. Pulver never wanted me to read. He didn't want me reading about what other teachers' philosophies were. He didn't want me reading about mechanical thoughts. He didn't, you know, he wanted to keep it simple. He knew how I would absorb and learn and what he was trying to teach me. So that was forbidden. You could read all you wanted in the golf magazines about people and places, but don't even think about reading about technique or anything like that. So in this blue binder that George Jr. left me were all of those articles, all cut out with Mr. Pulver's scratchings in the margins about what he believed in and what he might necessarily have agreed with. But what I was in no way prepared to find, it took me 34 years to open that no-go folder. What I wasn't prepared to find was that in there were all the letters I had written back to him. And it just... It gave me chills, and there wasn't enough Kleenex in the house that afternoon. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And those letters are so terrific, Dottie. I mentioned, you know, that your letters were handwritten, and, of course, his were typewritten. And what I was so impressed about your letters as a young woman was they were so respectful and so well written, and there was nothing cocky. It was just very respectful of him. And even in the title of your book, My Time with Mr. Pulver, you know, it's for people who are living in the neighborhood. It's hard enough to get the local 8-year-olds to call you Mr. Cronin. You know, hi, Barry. And I'm like, give me a break. Anyway, I shouldn't voice my concerns on the air. But it's just the amount of respect. And this at a time, you know, in the 80s when a little bit of a generation gap. There, and you wouldn't think that a 15-year-old and an 80-year-old would be getting along so well, and yet it seemed like your mutual bond with a game of golf, which does bring generations together, really helped. And so there's a lot of rich emotion and sentiment in this book, and it's terrific. But from a practical standpoint, Dottie, I think people who read this book might actually get and some tips on how to play. I noticed that there was a tip that you talk about from Ian Baker Finch about how look at the back of the one dimple on the golf ball when you're
right.
I think when you're putting. I did it the other day. It was awesome. Not that it helps my score, but it, every once in a while it helps me hit one okay.
Yeah, I've actually I wasn't really prepared for too on the backside of putting this book out on the market. Was people's reaction to me, writing back to me, sending emails. And I've even gotten a few handwritten ones that were in the vein of what Mr. Pulver would have loved, that they took little bits of his instruction and went to the range or went out on the golf course, and it helped them a little bit. So that's an added bonus. I would hope that would happen, but you certainly don't plan on it. But you know from going through the letters yourself how simple he tried to boil the game down. And none of that changes. I mean, everybody's talking about how the new instructors, and they've got this and the pressure plates, and they've got TrackMan, and they've got what. All of that really is just expounding on what the basics are, and the basics never change. You've got to make solid contact. You've got to be able to control your spin, and you've got to be able to do it day after day.
Right.
Yeah. Easier said than done, right, Dottie?
Correct.
And Dottie, what's interesting, I found what very interesting in the book was that Mr. Pulver, George Pulver, goes all the way back to Varden and Ray. He saw them play in an exhibition when he was a young man. And then he saw all the great players play, and he brought that just to me. Here's a guy who's 80 years old. He's been working on a driving range and all these golf courses, et cetera, in Saratoga Springs, New York, not highly populated. And yet he somehow absorbed all the wisdom of the game. He's not around the pros all the time. He's not out on tour. He's not teaching super great players, but he's absorbed all the essence of the game. Bobby Jones, Nicklaus, like I said, Varden and Ray, people like that. I find it remarkable. And then the fact that you two met, it's just, I don't know if you think that's fate or what you think that is.
I'm not sure what it is, but he was a higher power. He was a real student of the game. I think that's what I also hope you take from the letters. And it was also, you know, he was around, he would go to the Bahamas and also to Florida during the winter to teach and to be an assistant professional, where he met Martha in the Bahamas when he was down there for a couple of winters. But it was the era, if you remember, when there were matches and groups of professionals would go around and playing matches for a pretty good amount of money. And he liked to go watch those matches. So he saw them in competition. And actually some of those matches came through upstate New York, because we had the Sagamore and we had Glens Falls Country Club. And those were a couple of Donald Ross courses where Sarazen and Snead and Hagen, they all came to play matches. And so he was right there.
Right. Well, Dottie, how do we get this book?
We've kept this pretty small. There's no Amazon. It's all through my own website. It's hooked up to Shopify, so you can go directly to DottiePepper.net to get the book. It's also in a brick and mortar store in Saratoga Springs that has a website of the North Shire. So it's Northshire.com. And 10% of all of the proceeds are going back to a group in Saratoga Springs called the Saratoga War Horse, which uses off-the-track equine therapy, these thoroughbreds that are no longer racing, to help those who have served us overseas or even domestically in the military that have developed post-traumatic stress issues. And as Mr. Pulvera, being a World War I veteran, I think it kind of comes full circle because he came back injured and had some things to deal with.
Well, Dottie, we certainly appreciate it. I mean, the book sounds fantastic, and supporting the local brick-and-mortar bookstore is always a good thing. And we'll be listening and watching this weekend, and we'll hope for a great finish at the PGA. And we really, really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Oh, I appreciate you guys reaching out. And, Barry, we'll see you in July.
Yeah, absolutely. The John Deere Classic. It'll be an honor to have Dottie go on the fairways at TPC Deer Run. It'll be great.
All right, Dottie. Well,
thank you very much.
Have a great weekend at the PGA.
You guys too.
All right.
That's Dottie Pepper, on-course golf commentator, CBS Golf, 17-time LPGA Tour. You know her. We all know her. We enjoy her work. And Barry, I have not read the book. You have obviously gone through it. It sounds pretty fascinating, and I would definitely, I'm sure a lot of our listeners would also like to check that out as well.
Yes, DottiePepper.net. So, it's a terrific book, and I think it's good, a good book for young golfers who are just coming up, golf pros who are teaching pros, and also I think golf parents who can benefit a lot from Dottie and what she went through. You know, there were not the instruction clinics and academies that we have now back when she was coming up. And so, she didn't even know. They didn't even have many tournaments for girls to play in back in the day. She played on the boys' team. There weren't a lot of competitions. Now, you know, with the Illinois Junior Golf Association, there's a lot of girls playing, and there's 140 tournaments every summer for them to play in. They're not national tournaments or whatever, but it gives them playing opportunities that Dottie never had. So things have changed in 30 years. So girls have a lot more opportunities now. So anyway, it's a terrific book, and the wisdom of this man, George Pulver, he's like it's sort of a cross between Shivas Irons and Ben Hogan. So it's really a cool book, and I think folks would enjoy it. And of course, you really learn about Dottie Pepper, and you learn more about her as a person when you see her letters to him and the back and forth, and as well as her commentary on what happened.
Yep, and we'll definitely be listening to her commentary this weekend on CBS Golf at the PGA Championship. More talk about the PGA when we come back, and we'll also talk later in the show to Ethan Rausch of the Glen Club in Glenview. Our Swing Thoughts segment, we'll talk a little putting with Ethan. When we return again, more on the PGA. Phil Mickelson tied for the lead after the first two rounds. The scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. It's Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh.
And we are back with Chubby Checker.
Oh, yeah.
He's Chubby. The scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Early 60s South Carolina music. Well, it's not South Carolina music. It's American music by South Carolina native Chubby Checker. PGA Tour down in South Carolina this weekend at Kiawah Island. And we are here on the scorecard talking about it. Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito. Championship golf coverage on the score presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. And Barry, before we get back to the PGA, I want to remind everyone to log on to the CDGA website, cdga.org/contest. You can register to win a CDGA season starter pack. You'll get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum Mat balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. Barry, I'm sure you have your products out there. You're ready to go. You're out on the course.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
The CDGA would love to have you visit the site and sign up to try to win that contest. It's a nice little prize pack there.
Yeah, it's excellent. And zero friction is kind of overlooked. I'm hoping that we can have one of their top guys on the show one of these days to talk about zero friction golf. It's kind of an under-the-radar Chicago-based company that really does a super job. So that'll be in the future.
No doubt.
But this week, Mike, we're talking about the PGA and Phil Mickelson, the unlikely Cinderella story of Phil Mickelson, the five-time major winner. It's interesting. And then Louis Oosthuizen, he won the British Open a long time ago. And he contends in these major championships, but he hasn't won. So he and Phil will be in the final pairing today. And then, of course, we've got big hulking Brooks Koepka, the incredible Hulk of golf. He's won four major championships in the last few years, two PGAs and two U.S. Opens, formidable competitor. I mean, he's right there. And then we've got a couple South Africans who will be who are in the mix. And then, of course, Hideki Matsuyama, T4, Masters champion. That would be pretty awesome if he would if he would win this event and go on. And then just to mention, Gary Woodland, former U.S. Open champion, tied for seventh, along with Wheaton native Kevin Streelman. So we have we have local interest
we
here
do.
In Chicago. So that's a good thing. We have 23 players, even par or better, within five shots of the lead. So it should be a real exciting weekend, depending on how Kerry Hague at the PGA of America sets up the ocean course at Kiawah.
Well, and it was funny, too, to hear Dottie Pepper in our last segment when we were talking to her as she's covering the event. You know, she had all this material prepped for Corey Connors, 67 on round one. And then Corey, not his best effort yesterday with a 75, but, you know, basically played himself out of having her follow him. So all that work went down the drain, and now she's on to a different group. But it's fascinating because you ran it down, Barry, but you've got Brooks, who's won this event a few times already, going for number three. He's a shot off the lead. I saw a lot of people, a lot of sites, certainly the gambling sites, are considering him the favorite. He is the odds-on favorite if you're betting. I don't think the pros, so to speak, would believe or think that Phil or Louis Oosthuizen are going to be able to hang on here. Hideki Matsuyama, sneaky with a 68 yesterday, coming right back in. He's only two shots off the lead and one shot behind Koepka. And you mentioned Kevin Streelman, Corey Connors. You have a lot of guys still there within striking distance, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to be fun watching the guys navigate the course. We heard Jamie Wilson, our guest who played at University of South Carolina and who's played there, say, hey, I love it. You know, let's see these guys struggle a little bit out there and really do their best work and see how they can tame this course.
Right. Well, you know, Phil's odds have went from 200 to 1 to 14 to 1. So mm-hmm. the people are starting to bet. You know, I think the odds don't mean anything because all it means is that people are putting money
on Phil Mickelson. Betting, right?
Because, hey, there's a guy, he's leading, so let's bet on him. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
He did shoot 79 in the third round of the Masters after contending there this year. So it's hard to know what's going to happen with Phil. He is going to be 51, and he even admits that his level of concentration tends to wander a little bit when he's out there. So we'll see what happens today. And I think the main thing is if they set it up, for scoring today, and if the wind maybe lays down a little bit, there could be an opportunity for somebody at even par to shoot a low score and maybe catch up to the leaders. So that'll be interesting to see. And, you know, just to mention Mickelson for a second. Last time, Tom Watson, he was 59. He almost won the British Open in 2009. 1968, which I'm sure you remember as if it was only yesterday, Mike. Julius Boros, at age 48, won the PGA. So he's the oldest winner of a major championship in anybody's lifetime. And, of course, the 86 Masters, Nicklaus was 46. And in 2019, when Tiger won the Masters, he was 43. So we'll see what happens. 50 is the new 35 if Phil wins. I think we can officially say that if Phil wins this tournament. And maybe we can say it even if he doesn't.
Yeah, no, and I know, listen, a lot of us just root for our viewing matchups, right? I mean, I don't have a horse in the race. I don't necessarily care who wins. I like a bunch of these guys as a fan of the game. It's just cool when you have a whole bunch of guys really tightly packed together coming down the stretch, so to speak, at the end of a tournament like this. So that's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for content, Barry. I want to see an excellent program. I want to watch excellent golf today and tomorrow and see a tight race in.
Well, as a journalist, Mike, I think we know a journalist roots for the story more than anything else. You don't want to have to write Richie Wierenski, who's T12 right now, and nobody knows who he is. But it is a great leaderboard, so it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. We will keep our eyes on that. We'll certainly talk plenty about it next week. But when we come back, Barry, time for our final segment of today's show, our Swing Thoughts segment. We'll head on out to the Glen Club in Glenview. We'll talk to Ethan Rausch. We'll talk a little putting with Ethan and hopefully pick up some good tips for our listeners who are either driving out there to their course to play today or who will be shortly, looking for some tips. Our Swing Thoughts segment will hopefully give you that. You have the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, the scorecard presents Swing Thoughts, some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And we are back on the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Mike Esposito, Barry Cronin with you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8. Glad you could join us for the show today. And Barry, we're getting ready to head up to the Glen Club in Glenview for our Swing Thoughts segment. It's the site of this week's Evans Scholars Invitational.
Yes, and I just wanted to mention, I mentioned before that Patrick Flavin from Highland Park also received a sponsor exemption into next week's tournament. But this week's tournament in Kansas City, he qualified as the medalist, and the Monday qualifier shot 66 and earned a spot into that field this week. But the interesting thing about it is Nick Hardy, who's from Northbrook, who plays on the Korn Ferry Tour now and lives in Scottsdale, is on the verge of getting his PGA Tour card. But he drove from Scottsdale to Oklahoma to pick up Patrick Flavin, and he convinced him to play in this Monday qualifier in Kansas City to get into this tournament. Patrick hadn't even considered doing it, and Nick said, "You have to do it. I'm driving from Scottsdale. I'm picking you up in Oklahoma, and I'm driving you to Kansas City, and you're going to play in the Monday qualifier, and you're going to get in that event." So he did it. So that's what good friends are all about. And I just wanted to mention that before we get into talking to Ethan about it. But I think that's really a cool story. It says a lot about Nick and about the friendship that he has with Patrick.
That is a great friend right there and a great story, Barry. Thank you for sharing. And, it'll be interesting to watch him compete in the Evans Scholars Invitational this week at Glen Club. Let's head on out, Barry, to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue or at apnissan.com. Ethan Roush joins us. He is the head pro at the Glen Club up in Glenview. Good morning, Ethan.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on, Ethan. We really appreciate it. One of the things about the golf season starting up, and I think for a lot of people it still is starting up because the weather has been so unfriendly to golf in many ways, is putting. You're in the house. You're hiding from the pandemic. You're hiding from the winter.
Mm-hmm.
You're snow blowing. You're trying to escape the cold. And now you come out and it's time to play golf. And it's like, well, how do I can't even remember how to putt. So what do you have any tips on how to knock off the rust?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to do it now because by the time June hits, the built-in excuse that the season is just starting doesn't hold as much water as it does in April and May. So now's the time to knock off the rust. The biggest thing I see people struggle with when they get the clubs out of the garage for the winter is with putting speed control. I know I certainly, when I play my first couple rounds of the year, my speed is usually not mid-season form. So one drill you can do is place a club about 2.5 feet behind the hole and try to get every putt to the hole and try to not hit that club that's about 2 to 2.5 feet behind the hole. So really trying to make the putt, but also trying to make sure that if you don't, your distances are just right.
Yeah, well, and what happens if that doesn't work? Oh, just kidding. I'm sure it'll work.
Yeah.
there are other things in putting. What do you think about the idea of practicing one-handed?
I think it works great for some people. I've never done it. I know Tiger in his prime was all about on the putting green, putting with his right hand, probably trying to do two things. One was create feel with his dominant hand. The other was to feel the releasing of the putter blade, which the right hand is really responsible for a right-hander, the opening on the backswing and the closing through impact, feeling that releasing. I know a lot of people do it for feel and to get that feeling of releasing the putter.
Talking with Ethan Roush of the Glen Club, the head professional there in Glenview at the Glen Club. Is putting something that people ask you about a lot, Ethan, when you're doing your private instruction and when you're talking to people about their game? Is putting something that comes up a lot, or do people, they all want to learn how to hit the ball as far as they can?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It doesn't come up as much as it should. I'd say of 10 lessons I give, one of them will be a putting lesson, which, you could argue it should probably be more. Chipping and putting should be at least, probably half of the lessons that I give. But everybody loves to know, go to the range and pound balls. And it's this time of year where a little extra investment on your chipping and putting you'll actually see those returns in your scores.
All right. What about reading greens? That seems to be, even guys that I know that are real good players have a difficult time reading greens. Do you ever teach people how to read greens?
Yeah, you're right again. Not as much as people should take the time to learn how to read greens. It's really just a matter of attention. We kind of see a certain line and it's almost never high enough. You've kind of heard people say, oh, they missed that on the amateur side or they missed that putt on the pro side. Well, professionals will play more break than people who aren't as good at reading green. So it's really a matter of attention and seeing really where does this putt start to get over that hole. And 8 times out of 10, an amateur will not play enough break.
Yeah. Well, when you watch the Korn Ferry Tour on TV, which they're not televised as much anymore, I think because of the pandemic, but versus the PGA Tour, the main difference is what?
Almost nothing. I'd say they have all of the tools and skills. I think they're still learning how to compete at the highest level. So creating kind of that pressure. I think if you sent them all to their home course, whether on the PGA Tour or Korn Ferry, they could all shoot a 62. But I think what separates the PGA Tour guys, they have a little more confidence, a little more belief in themselves. And then you've seen those guys that have had the belief in themselves, the Justin Thomases, the Bryson DeChambeaus, Scottie Scheffler, who won the event at the Glen Club in 2019, obviously has a lot of confidence, and you could see it that week, and it hasn't stopped since. He's now, I think, ranked 22nd or 23rd in the world. I think he's 2 over this week at the PGA, so not completely out of it. But that's, I mean, you go to the range, you will not see much difference or any difference between the PGA Tour ball strikers and the Korn Ferry guys. I think it's just a repetition of getting in competition, believing in yourself, and that confidence that you can only gain through winning on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Well, talking with, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I was just going to let everyone know we're talking with Ethan Rausch, the head pro at the Glen Club in Glenview. That will be the site of this week's Evan Scholars Invitational.
And this week is going to be, or next week is going to be really the only Chicago-based PGA Tour event this year, because the BMW Championship is out of town. It's in Baltimore area this year. So, and we know that the top 25 at the end of this year from the Korn Ferry Tour are going to be on the PGA Tour next year. As you mentioned, Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he's a budding star out there. He's been playing really well. So for fans who want to see a great golf and really up close, because there aren't that many fans out there, you can see, you get to see Nick Hardy and Patrick Flavin, our local young guys, and you get to see Jamie Wilson, who is on our show today, which... Now that's a celebrity now, and you get to see them and some of the guys that are going to be out on the PGA Tour next year. It's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. The Evan Scholars Invitational presented by First Midwest Bank. People interested in tickets can go to esinvitational.com and register for tickets there. It is strongly recommended that you sign up online for your tickets before you arrive on the property. Parking is located just to the east of the Glen Club in the Glen Club Town Center. Parking garage is there just to the east of the property, and just a short walk to the Glen Club. Like you said, Barry, you will get an up close and personal experience seeing these players on the range, and you can follow somebody for a whole round, sit on behind the 18th green, watch them on the range, however you choose to experience it. It'll be a great week of golf, and I encourage you to come out.
Well, and the most important thing is you can watch them on the putting green and see the drills that they do.
Yeah.
And see if there's any possibility that you could imitate them and possibly improve your own game.
Absolutely.
Ethan, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for joining us. We will see you out at the Glen Club, and good luck with the Evan Scholars Invitational next week.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Barry, and thanks for having me on anytime. Appreciate it so much.
All right, good luck to you, Ethan.
Ethan Rausch, the head pro at the Glen Club in Glenview, the Evan Scholars Invitational coming next week, and I'm sure Ethan will have his hands full. Lots going on there, but good busy, right? I mean, that's what you want, and it'll certainly be an exciting event. And as you said, a chance to get out and watch some of the hopefully the future stars of the game get on out there. I think that's cool, right? I mean, everyone. It's like minor league baseball almost, right, Barry? You're watching the kids as they're learning, as they're improving their craft, and as they're hopefully making it up to, you know, to make it onto the tour. Where, you know, in normal times, as a golf fan, if you're attending an event, you're not going to get that kind of up close and personal attention as you're going to get at the Glen Club next week.
Well, right, and especially when you have a PGA Tour event like the BMW Championship in Chicago, where you really do have 30 to 40,000 people out there, and it's a difficult viewing. It's a different viewing experience than walking. You know, you can stand right up at the tee and see Nick Hardy hit an unbelievable tee shot and get an idea of what a great athlete he is. You know, he looks like he could play baseball or football or whatever, because he is a terrific athlete. And a lot of times I think we think golfers aren't athletes because they're not in uniform with a number on their back. And they certainly are. So, and the nice thing is too, you can go to PGAtour.com and click on the Korn Ferry Tour link and find out who the top 25 are and check them out. So,
yeah, no, and it's definitely cool. We had Nick Hardy on the show last year, and it's cool to follow his progress. It's cool to talk to all of our guests today on the show, Barry, and a great show it was. We want to thank our guests, Tim Troy from Ziegfeld Troy Golf, Jamie Wilson, who will be playing in the Evan Scholars Invitational next week, Dottie Pepper from CBS Golf, and we just talked to Ethan Rausch from the Glen Club. Barry, thank you, my friend. We'll another great show. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Mike. Have a lot of fun this weekend.
You too. And thanks to Adam Studzinski, our producer, as always, doing a great job there. Thanks to all of our listeners, texters, and everyone else out there in Score Radio Land who listens to the Scorecard and supports the show each and every week. Early Odds is coming up next inside the clubhouse after that. This has been The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Have a great day, everybody.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.